Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Hurdle Apparel, high-tech socks, LER, lower extremity review, and MVP Parent Magazines, and UK Health Radio. We've got a great doubleheader today. Joel Franco, the co-founder of Chesapeake Films in Las Vegas. He's the creator and producer of the upcoming documentary, Where Our Children Play, The Challenge of Youth Sports. Everybody in our audience knows how excited I am about this, being involved since the beginning. He's going to return. Then Dr. Rachel Hughes Rodriguez, she's a New York Pediatric Hematology Oncology Fellow. She will be joining me. Then the sports doctor's in with some Dr. Bob wisdom, your emails. Joel Franco, welcome back to the 10th time, give or take a few, to the sports doctor.
Thank you for having me, Doc. How are you?
I am good, and we want to keep on top of the progress of the documentary. Give us some background yourself, Chesapeake Films, and you're getting involved up to your both ears with Where Our Children Play.
Yes. Thank you for having me. As always, it's a pleasure. The documentary is coming together fantastic. We are really at the last couple of laps, if you will, of where the edit is going to be. So I'm very excited about that. And the movie is really about, like we talked many times before, it's really about the culture of youth sports, not just in the U.S., but around the world. And how it has moved away from, you know, focusing on kids.
Well, you know, our famous story, Joe, when you and I first got together about this whole topic, gosh, it's got to be 4 or 5 years ago. And you said to me famously, you know, what a big business youth sports is that you're researching. And it's like a $14 billion a year business, Dr. Bob. And over the years, as we've had you on the show various times, the price has continued to go up. You could almost call it $100 billion a year business,
basically.
With what's going on, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the documentary that we're very excited about. Everybody who listens to the Sports Doctor knows it's a topic I've been dealing with. I don't know, 3 decades, 4 decades, give or take a few weeks.
Yeah,
and it really shines the light on the challenges. It really shines the light on so much of the positive stuff and the solution side of things. Because when you were first looking at this as, again, you know, you're a sports dad with your soccer players. You were very concerned about what you were seeing, both as a sports dad and as a coach, weren't you?
Yes, and I still am.
Damn it.
I wish it would be like, oh, it's all fixed. We don't even need the movie anymore. But unfortunately, it's not.
Now, again, lots of progress with the main focus, like you and I talked about from the beginning. And again, I'm a very proud participant in the documentary, which was the importance of allowing the kids to still have fun. To get this terrible pressure off. You know, when I co-authored the book, Joel, as you know, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, it's 4 or 5 years already with the Hall of Fame volleyballer Sharkey Zartman. It was because of the epidemic, in capital letters, epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries, both physically and mentally. And the more talented your son or daughter is, the more the pressure many times to play hurt, to push through, to cause all sorts of trouble. And the bigger the business has become, the more some of these pressures have continued to increase. And this is where we expect the documentary to really, really make a difference. I'm counting on you, Joel.
Well, I'm trying because one of the things that we are really focusing on in the movie is, amongst the many things we are focusing on in the movie, is definitely communication, which it's exactly what you're talking about. The parent, coach, kid relationship, it's so crucial. You know, one of the kids we interviewed, she was telling me, she's 20 or 21 now, but when she was in high school and she was playing soccer at a high level too, you know, one of the reasons that she stopped playing was because she just, the pressure, mentally, she had a meltdown. She completely collapsed. And she was able to, she was so strong, and talked to her parents. And, you know, we talked to the mom too. And, you know, all of this will be in the movie, for example. And the mom said, when my daughter told me that, you know, her mental health was at stake if she didn't quit, I freaked out. And I was like, oh my God, what have we done? And this is a mom who is a wonderful person who takes care of her kids and is there for her kids and supports
her
kids.
Well, it's a situation, you know, youth sports is based a lot on overkill. Hey, we're excited. It's 100 days till the Olympics in Paris.
I know, right?
Now, everybody who participates, again, in the Olympics, when you're talking about 17, 18-year-olds, et cetera, they've been doing it forever, and it has tremendous challenges, both physically and mentally. And the more communication, to use that magic word you used, in solutions for parents, coaches, and the kids, with attention that's supposed to still be fun, sports parents. Yep. In so many areas. What's the best website or the site for the documentary and the information?
Yeah, anything that has to do with the movie and our related nonprofit is whereourchildrenplay.org. whereourchildrenplay.org. And they can also find us on Twitter at DocuSports or on Instagram at the real WOCP. We love to hear from people. We have been lucky to hear from so many people around the world, so we can't wait to continue that.
You know, it's interesting. You know, we were able to put together many of my guests in the past in various areas of youth sports. Reed Malby's one of them. iSports 360, some of these different, who are some of the different individuals, groups that you got feedback from the medical world, from the coaching world, from the parenting world? You've had a lot of participation of some contribution, don't you?
Yes, we have been so lucky. One of the main people besides yourself, obviously, has been Reed Malby, who's also one of our partners in our nonprofit. Yourself, like I said, Gordon McClelland from England.
Yes, Gordon. All these people are guests. Keep reading them.
He's been wonderful too. And just a lot of other, you know, we had the pleasure of talking to former athletes like John Smoltz and Tom Glavine, who are in the movie. We really had an amazing kids who have shared their stories and families who have shared their stories. Tom Beyer, you know, the famous Tom Beyer soccer coach who now works in, well, he lives in Japan, but works all over the world. He's a soccer starts at home. He was actually, like you, one of our first supporters. So it's been a journey. I mean, we've met so many people.
You know, it's interesting, yes. You know, I find interesting, and that's what I want to ask you, as you've included the world view, not only youth sports in the United States, which is the pressure cooker,
yep,
yet including around the world, and how are we doing in comparison and some of the different comparisons from some of the different countries? You know, we all face these challenges with these kids physically and mentally. And how are we doing? How are some of the comparisons that you continue to find that you're going to talk about?
In some ways, we definitely don't look very good. In others, we do. I think one of the things that we're talking about in the movie is the culture of sports and how it's different in some places. Unfortunately, the United States, the cost of youth sports is astronomical.
Yes.
And that is really one of the biggest problems the United States youth sports
system has. You know, it's a topic I've included for years, as you know, Joel, where I have financial people on. People say, what's that got to do with sports medicine? And it's exactly this topic. When you're talking traveling teams and club teams with youth sports, again, very, very expensive. There's no doubt about it, let alone the mental challenge of driving kids to sports 12 days a week.
It's hard on parents and kids.
Yeah.
It's not
and
just
you're
the kids
a soccer are... coach and a soccer parent. You'd go to
I
tournaments
am.
And there'd be triple headers. And we would talk
it's
about
crazy.
This is nuts when it comes to and the whole world of overuse, where we would see so many adolescents living on over-the-counter pain medicine just to continue to survive, or they wouldn't get cut, or they couldn't compete. And these, all of these things is something that we've talked about over a long, long period of time, and it's great to get input, you know, where we're talking between Reed Malby and Gordon McClelland, Gordon across the pond. I've been numerous times that both of these guys have been on the show talking exactly about how they felt we were doing, they were doing, and the reality that, again, it is a constant challenge when we're talking about these kinds of topics. When you see a 17, 18-year-old, wearing a gold medal at the Olympics, and you understand what that might take.
Oh, and you like this story. You know, my son got an injury, nothing too serious, luckily, but he needed to get surgery on his arm. And he's fine now. But when he, after surgery, he was given, like, and he's 14, he was given, like, so many opioids that, you know, I could have cured an entire apartment complex. And he didn't take them naturally,
but topic. It was. I featured it last week. We were talking about this exact concern with some orthopedists, and I didn't believe. You know, it's amazing. You know, he gets 30 pills, and it's crazy. And how long ago was that?
He just got approved to start practicing and playing again. So he did about a month and six weeks ago.
Still today, usually post-op, they'll give you six pills. And then if you need, you got to call the office. And sometimes
he got 20.
Yeah. That's again, it's too many in most instances.
Yeah.
And
way
the,
too many.
You know, yes. Sometimes, again, the pressure to come back because of the constraints. Don't you understand, Dr. Weil? My daughter's competing in 2 weeks. Her ankles are killing her. You know, these kinds of stories and whatever. Now, I've been arguing with you since the beginning of the project that we wanted a positive spin
yes.
on the documentary.
And that you're going to get.
How,
and you're
going to
get
doing,
that.
Joe? How are we doing,
you're
Joe?
Definitely... You know, the movie, the way it's structured right now, it has a nice spin because we focus. It's not even a spin. We just focus on the kids. So, and the kids are so resilient. The kids are so amazing. The kids that we have in the movie are from all over the place. They are from, you know, we have two lady boxers. We have three soccer players, a tennis player. I mean, we have a bunch of different people, different kids with different parts of the world and even parts of the U.S. And
right, and then you compare
and they
notes,
just talk
you know,
about
you compare,
it
yeah and you find and their perspective regarding their how
yep.
the you know their parents, their coaches, that whole relationship was such a big deal, and the fact that you know these kids many times my famous late great sports psychologist, I've mentioned him every show with you, the great Jim Vickery, his first comment to sports parents was, don't be a critic. This was his first bit of advice to sports parents. You know, don't be a critic analyzer on the way home after the game. And it's these pressures are big. And there's a lot of overzealous parents. Just 2 days ago, I read an article about the difficulty of referees and umpires to get young recruits because they don't want to be a ref because of the problems with the parents.
Well, I can give you a perfect first-hand experience with that if you want.
Because, do it quickly.
My kids, both my kids had decided.
I knew it. Yes, time flew with you. It always does, Joe. Like we're running out of time, so give us quickly the website people could find out about the documentary and keep up to date with you.
WhereOurChildrenPlay.org. That's our website, and they can find us on Twitter at Doc Youth Sports. And on Instagram at The Real WOCP.
And what's your prediction on when you think this is going to be coming out? I'm putting you on the hot seat real quick. When do you think?
Hopefully this year, but I don't know when yet.
Okay, well, that's why we're going to keep having you back. So Franco, again, and our friend of the show, with this great documentary upcoming. I want to thank him so much for joining us. Hold on. And we'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. From Chicago. Chicago. It is the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. I want to welcome Dr. Rachel Hughes Rodriguez. She is a New York-based pediatric hematology oncology fellow. Dr. Rodriguez, Dr. Rachel, because I'm Dr. Bob. Welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks so much, Dr. Bob. Excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Give us some quickie background on yourself, your medical career. I know you're very involved in research. Give us some background.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, ever since high school, felt like being a doctor was sort of what I was called to do. And so very early on was looking for opportunities in the medical field just to get my feet wet a little bit. In college and undergrad, I went to NYU in the city here and first got involved in sort of the pediatric oncology world, you know, volunteering at a cancer center here in the city, as well as getting involved with some various foundations, you know, the main one being the B Positive Foundation, which supports families that are affected by pediatric cancer. And just sort of being involved in the industry, you know, I quickly fell in love with the patients, with the families, and so decided to go to med school, found my way out in Pittsburgh, and, you know, started my medical career in general pediatrics back here in New York City. After completing a pediatric residency, I'm now just over halfway through my fellowship in pediatric hematology oncology. So, you know, really making the dream come true. And in a year or so, I'll finally be in attending.
Yes, you know, we feature pediatrics. As a matter of fact, my first guest is of the documentary we're involved with, The Challenge of Youth Sports. And in so many areas, again, the world of pediatrics, we featured on the Sports Doctor. Again, whether it was the sports medicine side, whether it was the eating disorder side, whether it's 3 years, we talked about childhood obesity. So pediatrics has always been a big, big topic. I am a proud St. Jude's. I've got my T-shirt for years. Picking that specialty and the challenges on of families and pediatrics and oncology, I'm proud of you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. And certainly, you know, when I tell people the field that I'm in, most people's first reaction is, you know, that must be so sad, or I don't know how you do it. But I do like to mention, you know, kids are so resilient. There is so much positivity and so many success stories within pediatric cancer. And so, you know, of course, a lot of the job is quite tough. There's a lot of it that is so positive, so
special. Yes, it definitely includes that side. But there's tremendous progress. It's great to see the, you know, mental health is the biggest topic in the world. It's amazing, no matter where my guests are from, no matter what their vocation, the world of mental health, the family relationships, whether your son or daughter is the best athlete in the world, or whether they're dealing with something as serious as a serious medical condition. Let alone the world of cancer. So it's great to see you emphasizing the big positive side, the wonderful side. You know, it's so important that families know. I guess the awareness is, and education is a big part of what you do. And you also got to be a good psychologist.
Absolutely. Yeah, part-time therapist. For sure, you know, for the patients, for their families, and also for your coworkers, because we all go through, you know, tough times together. We experience loss together, and so being able to rely on your coworkers who have shared experiences as you is also a really important part of the job.
Yes, and again, you know, the idea of these children at so many different ages, and is St. Jude's, there are other research hospitals. Isn't research something that you're involved in these areas at this point in time?
Yes, absolutely. So you're correct. St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital is one of the huge pediatric cancer research centers in the country. There are many others
I'm that old. I'm that old, Dr. Rachel. I was a big Danny Thomas fan.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
I remember them talking about launching that whole world, and it's great to see organizations. Wow. You know, the last thing people should have to deal with is the, you know, we've had experts on the Sports Doctor with our crazy, you know, our healthcare system, whether it's Medicare, whether it's any aspect, you know that as a doctor and whatever, it's nuts. And many times, let alone dealing with something this serious, the idea of that there is help and tremendous education that can be included when a family has to be dealing with, you know, cancer related. I don't know if there's a family anywhere in the country that doesn't know of or hasn't experienced the challenge of cancer in their family.
Right, exactly right. And you're right, St. Jude's mission is so important that when families are dealing with something like this, that they shouldn't have to worry about how they're going to pay for the treatment or how they're going to pay, you know, to stay in Memphis. So certainly your support for them is greatly appreciated. And there are many similar centers around the country, maybe not so much as, you know, paying for all parts of care, including hotel, food, what have you, but paying for the research, as you were asking about. Exactly.
Yeah, you know, and being helpful in you know, in that regard. You know, my sister has an NYU trained oncologist who's dealt with her particular condition. There's so many great organizations in New York City. And were you born and raised in Pittsburgh?
I was born and raised actually in North Jersey, so about an hour outside of
New York. I thought
maybe
I caught your, you know, as a sports doctor, I'm famous for my accent, so I thought I might have caught
you can hear mine.
You know, when I have guests on, like from Australia or whatever, then I'm in trouble. When the show plays across the pond on UK Health Radio, it might be a definite difference in accents. In that regard. But you went to medical school in Pittsburgh.
Medical school out in Pittsburgh, yep, University of Pittsburgh. They've got a big children's hospital out there doing a lot of great things in the pediatric oncology world. But sort of always knew I wanted to make my way back to New York City and you know, pursue the rest of my training here. So that's how I ended up back in this part.
And again, you know, the whole mental side for the families involved, the children involved, has really become a big deal, hasn't it?
Absolutely. You know, in sort of speaking to some of the challenges in the field, luckily our treatments are becoming quite successful in a lot of different kinds of pediatric cancers, and are you know, where maybe 40, 50 years ago kids weren't surviving, now we have so many children that are surviving their pediatric cancers. We are dealing with sort of the long-term side effects of having this diagnosis and going through all of these treatments. And mental health is such a big one. You know, kids sort of go through so much in dealing with this diagnosis, going through such difficult treatments, missing school. It just sort of pours over into all areas of life. And so being able to support their mental health both during and after treatment is a really important part of care.
Yes, and I also wanted to bring up with you the importance of the school systems being aware of some of these challenges, to say the least. Have you found that educationally wise, that the school systems, elementary school, junior high school, high school, they have a clue in where with what some of these kids might be dealing with and being helpful as far as for the families?
Yeah, I would say it varies from family to family and from patient to patient, you know, depending on what part of their journey they're in, whether it's, you know, immediately after diagnosis, maybe they're going through a lot of tough surgeries or just starting chemo. That's a time when they're going to be missing a ton of school. And depending on what works for the family, they may opt to just sort of skip the year and repeat it again, or work with a homeschool teacher. Some hospitals also have in-hospital teachers so that even if the patient has to be admitted for a long time, you know, they can keep up on their schoolwork and not fall behind and not have to leave their friends behind in their class. So it definitely varies. The schools and teachers I've worked with are always, you know, really flexible, understanding, and it's all just for the good of the child, whatever makes the most sense for them and their health at that time.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. What are some of the new, you know, chemotherapy is the word that everybody, you know, it's just what you think, almost one of the first words you think about. As far as some of the treatments in the world of pediatric cancer, what are some of the new exciting therapies just in general that you've seen that are being paid attention to? Or still the tremendous reliance on chemotherapy, what we used to think it was?
Yeah, so it really varies based on the type of cancer and, you know, how advanced it is. So certainly many kids still will need the traditional chemotherapies that you think of. Luckily, our supportive care, so our anti-nausea medicines and things like that, have improved, and so, you know, perhaps it's a little bit more tolerable than it used to be, but certainly traditional chemotherapy is still a big backbone of treatment. Many kids also still require radiation therapy, again, depending on the kind of cancer they have. But in terms of the new and exciting things, immunotherapy is a word that you'll hear thrown around, and that sort of describes a class of medicines that affect the way that the immune system can recognize and target cancer. So it sort of harnesses the patient's own immune system to help target the cancer cells. So there's a bunch of different medications that fall under the category of immunotherapy. Many of them are first sort of developed and used and tested in adults before they sort of trickle down to kids. But more and more are being studied and luckily approved for use in pediatrics. And then the other sort of hot topic that you may have heard of is cellular therapy. So that's another one that, you know, we harness the patient's own immune cells. We take them out, we manipulate them, and then
well, keep that in mind. We're going to pick that up after the break. We're talking with Dr. Rachel Hughes Rodriguez, pediatric oncology. It's the Sports Doctor. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, we are back. It's the Sports Doctor live from Chicago. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We are speaking with Dr. Rachel Hughes Rodriguez. She is a pediatric oncology, hematology fellow, and we were talking about some of the new exciting additions to the old world of chemotherapy. You were mentioning the cellular therapy when we took the break.
Yes, that's exactly right. Cellular therapy is a new and growing field. It is when right now we take certain cells out of a patient, manipulate them in a lab, and then put them back into the patient to, again, help the patient's immune system fight the cancer. This is evolving, and hopefully in the not too distant future, we won't even have to use the patient's own cells. We could just sort of have them what's called off the shelf, and it would just be like a cellular product, just like any other medication would be prescribed.
You know, in this day and age, for years on the Sports Doctor, Dr. Rachel, I've included holistic medicine, Eastern culture, along with Western medicine. Again, the tremendous attention, the world of nutrition. For example, how have you found, for example, the world of nutrition and or any of the complementary medicines being part of the overall world of treatment?
Super, super important piece of treatment for our patients. So, you know, in going through these treatments, obviously nausea is a huge side effect, and we do see that nutrition, appetite takes a big hit in our patients. So we work side by side with nutritionists in our hospital, you know, whether it's in the clinic or in the hospital, and it's just such a key component. You know, you need the body to be strong to be able to tolerate the strong treatments that we're giving patients. And the same goes for sort of the more complementary type medicines. So, for example, acupuncture, aromatherapy, things like that. We do offer those at our hospital.
Great.
If, you know, if a patient were
those
to
request. Those
are big
weapons. Yes.
The
world of placebo is a big deal in whatever many times, you know, that you're dealing with trying to, again, in the physical therapy, the idea of trying to keep the body strong enough to handle some of these treatments and medications, and that's something I'm sure you pay big attention to.
Absolutely. Physical therapy is, again, just intertwined in our clinic. They come see us to receive their chemo, and they'll see physical therapy right after their appointment. It goes hand in hand. Absolutely.
You know, Dr. H, it's a tough question, but, you know, when you're talking about pediatric cancers and you're dealing successfully with a lot of these kids, their chances as they get into adulthood or grow older is because you've dealt with anything at all in the pediatric cancer world make mean you'll always be more susceptible in some way, shape, or form?
It's not so black and white, but...
Good.
Certainly, some of the treatments that we give, there's certain chemotherapies that do lead to an increased risk of cancer down the line. And so all of our survivors follow up in our survivorship clinic at least once a year, and that's run by a pediatrician who is...
That's a great title. That's a great title.
Survivorship clinic.
Yes, it is. I like that a lot.
It's run by, exactly right. I mean, you know, that's our goal is to make all of our patients become survivors. And so more and more, I think these types of clinics are going to be needed, just sort of helping these survivors monitor what may be late side effects of treatment, you know, decades down the line.
How young are we seeing the pediatric cancer? I know it's a generalization, but how young?
Yeah, so you can actually have prenatally diagnosed certain types of pediatric cancers. Yep. So, you know, birth. I think the youngest I personally have seen was 3 or 4 days old for a consultation, yeah.
Wow. And the world of pediatrics in general is well aware of being on top of awareness, education, et cetera. For families, I'm sure.
In terms of kind of looking out for signs, symptoms, what to ask your pediatrician, things like that. You know, I would encourage people, you know, who are listening, if you have any concerns, discuss them with your general pediatrician and make sure that your concerns are being heard. But at the same time, luckily for us, pediatric cancer as a whole is quite rare in comparison to adults with cancer. And so, you know, many times there are other explanations for what you may be seeing in your child. But certainly if you have a concern, just make your voice be heard by your general pediatrician.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. It's very, very important, especially when you got the whole fear factor that's involved in anything at all, even close to this. That's great to hear that pediatric cancer is a lot more rare than in the adult particular. What are some of the most common pediatric cancers?
Yeah, so the most common by far would be pediatric leukemias. So that's cancer of the blood. That makes up a good amount of the kinds of cancer that we see. And that would be followed after sort of leukemias, lymphoma, so the blood cancers. The next most common would be brain tumors as a whole in kids.
And you would see with the, again, some particular signs, I guess, that would be in one way or another, just, you know, parents being educated, pediatricians being aware and paying attention with a lot of these. And I guess the ages, and also let me go, male, female, boys to girls, in general, mm-hmm. what's the percentage?
You're testing me here, Dr. Bob. This is good.
I know it's a guesstimate, but
across the whole spectrum of pediatric cancers, I would guess it's somewhere in the 1-to-1 range. Certainly within specific types of cancers, you may have more male predominance or more female predominance, but as a whole, I would guess it's approximately even.
And we see, again, in the world of youth sports, there's all sorts of pediatric, survivor young athletes mm-hmm. who have been through mm-hmm. successfully and then are moving forward with whatever sport they love or whatever activity that they really, really enjoy. And, again, the overall fact is that you've made an awful lot of progress in the survival rates of any of the pediatric cancers, haven't we?
Exactly right, yeah, and a lot of driving that is the success we've had in pediatric leukemia. That now, a diagnosis of leukemia, your survival rate is above 90%, which is just fantastic. But across the board, we're making improvements, and with those, more rare or more difficult to treat cancers, that's where a lot of the research and dollars spent are going in to try to improve things for all patients.
Yeah, where is the word heredity? Does it count? Is it something that's notable in your world of pediatric cancers regarding their family history?
So certainly we always ask about family history, looking for certain what we call like predisposition syndromes. But more often than not, pediatric cancer is nothing that was inherited and is just, really a bad luck most of the time. So while we may say, did grandma have cancer? Did dad have cancer? Most of the time, it's unrelated to anything that would be inherited.
Right. I think that's a big point to be aware of, the fact that that's not the case. I knew the time would fly by. Now, again, talking to the pediatrician is the real, real main point. Is there any particular site that people would want to go to find out more about either your world or in general?
So I would say the big groups to look out for pediatric oncology, the first would be the Children's Oncology Group. That's sort of our big national consortium of many centers across the country. We all collaborate together and do research together. So certainly, if anyone has a patient or knows anyone who, needs treatment, that would probably be one of the first websites that I would
Great.
Go to, Children's
fantastic,
Oncology Group.
Fantastic information. Dr. Rachel Hughes Rodriguez, thank you so much for joining me. Hold on. We'll be right back, everybody, with the Sports Doctors Inn.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Introducing Hurdle Apparel Socks. Are you ready to step up your sock game? Hurdle Socks go above and beyond by adding unrivaled support and cushioning with their new Matrix Support technology. By using an incredibly thin, anti-odor, anti-perspiration, shock-absorbing web or matrix that's incorporated in between the fibers of their socks, Hurdle is introducing the first socks with an internal structure to support your feet. There is an immediate difference as soon as you wear them in terms of cushioning and support. Walk on and walk easy with Hurdle socks. Go to hurdleapparel.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
The Sports Doctor is in segment where we preview some upcoming guests and topics. We add a little Dr. Bob wisdom to the mix. We answer a few emails. Got some great shows coming up next week. Jessica Biel-Stahl is a sports pharmacist. She returns a great new field in the world of pharmacy. And then Sean Patel, the whole world of college prep, whether it's scholarships, whether it's the levels of the whole area of being educated on making right decisions in that world will be the topic. The following week, one of our favorite chiropractic physicians, sports chiropractors, Eric Williams, Williams Chiropractic, Lila Lanois returns. And one of my old fraternity brothers, Dr. Howard Robbins, he's a podiatrist, but he's a world expert on ozone therapy, and functional medicine. So great shows, great topics coming up over the next few weeks. You know, my Dr. Bob wisdom for all you coaches and sports parents and athletes is include strengthening your feet and ankles. We talk about it a lot. It's a major inclusion that you want to pay attention to. I'm a big rubber band fan. I'm a big standing on tilt boards. These things we've talked about a lot. It's part of the book on recommended exercises and hashtag a sports parent. Strengthening those feet and ankles. You know, pickleball, it's the fastest growing sport in the country. It's an older population. We're seeing ankle problems coming out of the woodwork. Strengthen your feet and ankles, regardless, even if you're a walker and you spend 2-3 days a week to include it with your exercise program. If you don't know what to do, then check with your local physical therapist. You know, my baseball blue book question of the week topic, you know, one of our former guests, the great New York Yankees sports orthopedist, Dr. Chris Ahmad, has been featuring the 50th anniversary of Tommy John surgery in some of his various posts on social media. It's amazing. It's been 50 years. And the whole idea of how successful it's been, how common it's become, and problematically, how we're seeing it in adolescence because of overuse. So the topic of overuse injuries that we feature so much in youth sports on The Sports Doctor, specific attention to teenagers, Tommy John surgery, overkill, too much pitching, too aggressive. Pay attention, sports coaches and sports parents. And you go to, you want to go to Chris Ahmad, Dr. Chris Ahmad, the Yankees, and catch up on some of the different information with the famous Dr. Job, who created the surgery, and some of the athletes and what's being done in this day and age to try to stay out of trouble with these kids. It's a couple of emails. Ellen says, my 12-year-old daughter is a serious figure skater. She's doing double jumps. She doesn't have much in the way of problems. She's had some foot ankle concerns in the past. How important are the custom boots? You know, Ellen, custom boots are all about precision and fit. They are not about controlling biomechanical imbalances. For example, you mentioned your daughter's had occasional or once in a while. I've been putting orthotics in figure skates for, gosh, four decades. My poster patient continues to be the 2010 men's Olympic gold medalist, Evan Lysacek, who was 10 years old when we put orthotics in the skates. I'm still putting orthotics in 10-year-old skates. For maximum alignment and positioning. So the gold program, Ellen, is custom boots for optimum fit, as well as custom orthotics for optimum alignment. If there's no history of problems, again, custom boots are a step up as being precise for fitting. You know, many times we see narrow heels, wider ball of the foot, et cetera, et cetera. When I've had on the famous Mr. Edge, John Harmata, numerous times on the show, and he would talk about the role of custom boots when it came to precise fitting, especially, again, if there were concerns. So you can't go wrong, but you might also get some feedback from podiatry or sports podiatry, Ellen, regarding your daughters, because, by the way, orthotics are a step up in skating performance. This has been my experience. Even though most of the time we were prescribing orthotics for children in the world of figure skating because something hurt. Their knees hurt, their ankles hurt, they had arch problems, heel problems. But what's interesting over all these decades is I never had a coach call me and say, you know, you messed the kid's balance up. You know, wow, something's changed. What I have had for years is coaches say this skater's doing everything better. Their edges are sharper. Their jumping's higher. Their acceleration is better because of the joint alignment. So this is something you really want to pay attention to. Tom writes, talk about some of the particulars of your pickleball article. You know, Lower Extremity Review, the great biomechanics magazine. I think they just celebrated their 12th or 13th anniversary. I might be wrong. Their great publisher, Rich Dubin, is a frequent guest on the Sports Doctor. And in 2021, I wrote an article, A Clinician's Perspective, on that pickleball is physical. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, you can catch up with that. And the point is that it is physical. And his older ages playing pickleball. Again, I mentioned strengthening your feet and ankles. You should pay attention to being shaped to play. Pickleball is a lot of changing direction. It's like racquetball and tennis. You're really moving. So get your body ready. See everybody next week. Thanks. It's the Sports Doctor.